Coming up on 5:45 and 61 degrees, and we're ready. We're going to start things off with our first joke of the morning. This is a friendly listener who likes to leave us jokes on Sundays.
Well, beautiful Sunday with you, and for your Monday morning giggle, here we go. What time should you cook a spaghetti? Half pasta one.
I like it. Half pasta one. I mean, that is a dad joke if I've ever heard one. And so for whatever reason here in the studio, the last couple of days, just trouble accessing Facebook, which I now have. You know, it was really nice having it off of my phone for a while. But boy, happy birthday yesterday to Eileen Smisky in Eau Claire. I had a chance to visit with her at the apartment building party on Saturday, and thanks for the invite I got. Lori Trinan invited me for that, and I had never been to the birthday of a 105-year-old before, but she turned 105 years young yesterday. Very bright, very sharp. We've even got some audio from her. I think I could access here this morning from memory as it was put in a couple of days ago on Saturday the 16th. If I can correctly entered into my news folder this morning and find that, yeah, indeed. So had a chance to chat with Eileen, turning 105, and here's some of that here this morning on WWIB on the WIB Wake Up Show. And if I've got that in that category this morning, let's go with Eileen here. Here we go. Eileen, take it away. How do you feel as you turn 105?
Wonderful.
Okay. And what do you credit your longevity to?
The grace of God.
That's wonderful. I understand that you have five kids who are, and they're all in their 80s.
I have six children who are all under their 80s.
All in their 80s, or?
Yes, okay. All in their 80s.
All in their 80s. So how many grandchildren and great-grandchildren?
I quit counting because there's so many.
Okay. Let's see, I have a friend, Carl Smisky. Are you any relation to Carl, or does that name ring a bell?
Grandson.
Grandson. Oh, what do you know? Let's see, and so I understand, what's your favorite place to eat?
I would say Randy's.
Randy's, that's fantastic. What do you like to eat there?
BLT.
Okay. Now, somebody else told me that you like to eat at Culver's.
I do like to eat at Culver's.
And what do you like there?
I like anything.
Okay, anything. Okay. Would you like the BLT at Randy's?
Yes.
Yeah, very good. And finally, closing things out, Kathy Soley describes the birthday girl this way.
She's a gem. She's kind. She's an inspiration of energy, of faith, of an example. You never see her down. Never quits. Comes to everything she can possibly get to, because that's how you keep going and you help others.
Yeah, great stuff there. So, again, happy 105th birthday yesterday to Eileen Smisky in Eau Claire. And also this morning, we got the Eau Claire, the We Care Eau Claire Backpack to School distribution going on today. And pray that that goes well for them. And think of our friend Julie Smith, a volunteer coordinator for that. I understand my friend Brian Quaid is the vice president of We Care Eau Claire, and so they got a lot of work. But again, the 4 to 7 today, but they're going to be lining up well ahead of that for that distribution. So pray that all things go well for that. Boy, 2,400, that is a lot on the heels of what Valley Vineyard did yesterday. And thanks to all of you, so many of you who were so generous in your support of our Backpack to School Challenge fundraising for these, and also the work in Liberia recently. All right, we close things out here this morning with a devotional thought, and it comes from Robert Morgan's On This Day for August 18th. And turning to that here this morning, it's 100 hymns, and it reads like this. Can you imagine singing 100 hymns in one evening? One church did, with history-shattering results. Count Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf, born in 1700, grew up in an atmosphere of Bible reading and hymn singing. He married a Christian countess, and the two began allowing Protestant refugees to camp on their German estate. A Moravian community named Herhut, under the Lord's watch, soon developed. One day, a potter named Leonard Dover arrived to establish artistic pottery as a profitable product for Herhut. Not long thereafter, Zinzendorf returned from a trip to Copenhagen with reports of slaves in the West Indies having no one to tell them of Christ. Dober spent a sleepless night. I could not get free of it, he said. I vowed to myself that if one other brother would go with me, I would become a slave. He found his brother in David Nitschman, a carpenter. On August 18, 1732, in an extraordinary emotion-packed service, the two were commissioned. 100 hymns were sung that night.
Wow.
As the congregation bade them goodbye and Godspeed. The two sailed from Copenhagen on October 8th, sustained by Numbers 23:19. God is no mere human. He doesn't tell lies or change his mind. God always keeps his promises. They arrived in St. Thomas in December, and a planter named Lorenzen took them in. Their first Sunday saw their beginning their search for souls, preaching to a small group of slaves, several of whom soon followed Christ. Dober ministered to those suffering from malaria, at one point nearly dying of the fever himself. On another occasion, he almost starved, but reinforcements began arriving from Herhut in 1734. Though many died, the Moravian tide of missionaries continued to Greenland, to Lapland and Georgia, to Suriname, to Guinea, to South Africa, to Algeria, to North American Indians, to Ceylon and Romania and Constantinople. From 1732 to 1742, more than 70 Moravian missionaries were sent from Herhut, a community of 600. It has been called the Golden Decade. It was the dawn of Protestant missions. Wow. I'm glad we read that one this morning. The closing verse from Psalm 96:3, tell every nation on earth the Lord is wonderful and does marvelous things. But why would I tell penguin jokes, and why do I have a book here, How to Make a Penguin Laugh? It has to do with Sam. Why Sam? Because we co-hosted the Wib Wake Up Show Wednesday and Thursday. And Thursday he revealed new information. Now, he learned new information from me last week that we have a aging ferret named Gizmo, which he was just kind of tickled by. He just couldn't get over, like, why did you name him Gizmo? It turns out, Sam, that was his name when we got him. But anyhow, Sam let me know he really likes penguins and different people. I have a sister who really likes cows, a mom who really likes owls. I haven't talked about that lately. But anyhow, Sam really likes penguins, and I came across this book this week, and I can't wait to leave it on his desk. It's How to Make a Penguin Laugh, but I want to share the jokes with you. So here we go. Are you ready? Yeah. How to Make a Penguin Laugh. Oh, lots of fun here on a Make Us Laugh Monday. For instance, do you know why penguin jokes are the best? They're so much fun. Yeah, they're so much fun. Here's another one. What do you call a cold penguin? A bird.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, good humor here for Sam to share with, you know, his nephews and nieces. Who is the penguin's most famous relative? That would be Antarctica. Yeah, I guess this would be a kid's book. How does a penguin make repairs? It glues it together.
Oh, man.
What do penguins wear on their heads? Ice caps. All right. Hey, where do penguins hide their money? In snowbanks.
Oh, man.
What kind of shoes do penguins wear at the beach? Flipper flops. I don't know if they're getting better or worse. Why do penguins wear glasses? To help their eyesight.
Oh, man.
Yeah, kind of similar reactions to some of these. Why was the penguin hard to talk to? He was always fishing for compliments. And finally, why don't penguins and polar bears get along? Well, they're polar opposites.
Oh, man.
There are more. What do penguins drink to keep cool? Iced tea. Okay, we'll leave it there. That was like 11 penguin jokes. Did I set a record? Is that the record for most consecutive penguin jokes told on a radio program? I've always wanted to get into the Guinness Book of World Records. Never thought it would be that way. News top of the hour, and then the show gets even better as Caleb joins the mix. The intelligence level will rise dramatically. Weekend recap, Caleb and Halvo, the Wib Wake Up Show, WWIB. On my end, enjoyed watching a TV show with my wife Friday and Saturday night at the end of the day there. Also did a little cooking over the weekend. Like to do that when I get the chance to stuff green peppers on Saturday night. Gotta say, Caleb, my wife grew the green peppers in her own garden, so that made them extra special with some turkey sausage inside. Add a little spice. Sloppy Joe's was pretty basic after church on Sunday, but some cornbread with some honey butter was a big hit with our Sunday night gathering with four other couples. Church was in there as well yesterday, so that's pretty much my weekend.
Well, our Saturday, we went up to Pinecrest Golf Course in Dallas. There was a benefit event for my twin nephews, Grady and Jace, and just really wonderful to see how many people came out. The golf tournament itself did get postponed because of the heavy rain up there, but just a lot of people came out, and was great to see the support.
Good.
My little brother came 3 hours from St. Cloud, Minnesota, just for the event, and that meant a lot that he'd drive that far to show his support. And again, please keep the Binder family and my nephews Grady and Jace in your prayers as they battle a very, very rare condition, and they need a miracle. Oh. And so miracles for Grady and Jace is what that's called, if you want to find out more. So that kind of encompassed our Saturday. Got some steps in on Saturday night as well, too. Always like that. Kind of my mode now is if I'm watching Netflix or something, trying to get some steps in while I'm watching that. Caught a few Packers highlights later on. Didn't get to see the actual game, but they did come back. That was great. The Brewers were very entertaining. Of course, came to a close that epic winning streak yesterday, but enjoyed some family time. Enjoyed a meal from Chopsticks, thanks to my little sister Promise and her husband Christian for the thank you gift card for our help at their wedding for Chopsticks. So that paid for our meal yesterday, and then got even a little nap in yesterday afternoon as well too, which was, I guess, needed. My wife probably needs the nap a lot more than I did, but I still enjoyed that considering the week that's ahead.
Nice. Caleb, this caught my eye out of China. World Humanoid Robot Games. They just wrapped up yesterday after 3 days of what they describe as thrilling competition between 280 teams from 16 countries.
I didn't know that robots had national loyalties, but apparently they do. High-tech humanoids, again robots, raced, played football, and even danced to hip-hop.
Yeah, China's fully autonomous robots dominated the sprint finals.
The event hosted over 500 robots competing in 26 different events.
Yeah, one robot was disqualified from the 1,500-meter race after its head fell off during the race. That's a big no-no.
I guess you don't want any body parts of the robots to fall off during the race. But, yeah, where does this lead? Are we eventually just going to be watching robots instead of humans on TV?
I know. Is the concern over concussion injuries going to lead to, you know what, just robotic NFL?
Well, and maybe the new athletes are just going to be people controlling the robots and just doing it from home.
You know, if you don't have to be concerned about hamstring or injuries, maybe, you know.
Yeah, could be. It'd help certain Packers players, some of those. Right. Poor Marshawn Lloyd, the guy just can't catch a break.
Oh, man. Well, Caleb, have you ever lost something and then a good stretch of time elapsed and then you found it again?
Yeah, our TV remote, and it happens on a disturbingly regular basis. Kids.
Well, I don't know if it's been 11 years, as one auto worker, a mechanic in Minnesota, discovered a wallet under the hood of a 2015 Ford Edge that had been lost by a Michigan Ford plant worker 11 years prior.
Richard Goford recalled losing the wallet at the Michigan assembly plant in Wayne while working on vehicles that had been shipped from Chicago.
Yeah, wow. The wallet contained his driver's license, a Ford Motor Company ID, $15 in cash, and $250 in Cabela's gift cards intended for Christmas presents.
After searching through 2,000 vehicles on the holding lot without success, he had long given up hope of recovering it.
But Chad Volk, the owner of LC Car Care in Minnesota, found the wallet while working on the Ford Edge to replace its cooling fans.
When removing the airbox, he discovered the wallet on top of the transmission. After inspecting it and finding the Ford badge, he decided to locate Goford through Facebook.
Yeah, the Edge had approximately 150,000 miles on it when brought to Volk's shop. And Guilford humorously noted the $15 in cash was well-traveled but intact.
Now, this was pretty cool as well. Cabela's agreed to issue new gift cards to him, allowing him to preserve the original wallet as a keepsake.
Wow. He observed that despite the wallet's heat exposure in the car, it remained dry and intact. What a commercial for the wallet.
Oh, my goodness. That's just something else. And again, so you go back, he's actually assembling the car, right? And to me, it's he searched through 2,000 different vehicles.
Right.
Saying, it's got to be around here somewhere. It must have fallen off while I was working on it, which it did. But yeah, I guess when it's right on top of the transmission, it's a little hard to find.
Crazy story.
Incredible.
Well, what is the ideal retirement age? That's something that people wrestle with. And guess what? There's a study about it.
Of course there is. According to a new study out of Boston College, People who retire at or near age 62 receive a welcome but somewhat surprising benefit.
Yeah, a greater relative increase in physical and emotional well-being than those who retire at earlier or later ages.
And now that's interesting, earlier or later. Mm-hmm. So you say, oh man, I retired at 57. Mm-hmm. But they're saying, no, there's kind of this magic age of 62. They also say 62 is the age at which U.S. citizens become eligible to receive partial social security benefits.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I mean, I'm thinking of different professions like teacher and police come to mind of folks I know in their mid-50s, 55 or older, who may be retired. On the other hand, our friend Betty Sittler is still teaching into her 80s, so you never know.
And it all depends on the profession, right? Because if you're in a very physically demanding profession, your body might not be able to take
right.
going all the way till 62.
Absolutely.
Whereas if you're like us, just sitting in a chair?
Yeah.
At the same time, that's why we get our steps on the weekends, right?
My smartwatch actually tells me sometimes, like, you've been sitting too long. It's
same
time
here,
to get
same
up.
Tier. It's just kind of like this little passive-aggressive suggestion. It's like, you probably should get moving. I'm like, yes, watch, I know.
And
I
then
know.
There are these differing views on retirement. I think what I've read is Dave Ramsey, whose show Mondays through Friday, 1 to 3 on WOGO, our sister AMFM, and he seems to suggest, yeah, take the money at 62 and, no surprise, invest it. Others
sure.
seem to say, work until 70 and then go ahead and you're going to get a larger amount.
Well, you know what? We've got some great retirement planning advertisers here on WWIB. So see what they say and make your best decision.